Welcome to Parents Perspective. Today, in a departure from our usual format, we are hosting a very special group of guests. Their insights will be helpful to parents and to any adults concerned with teenagers. Our experts will help us discover what teens would like their parents to know. I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. With us today are four students: Sammy, who recently graduated from high school; Addie, a junior in high school; Kelly, a senior in high school; and Dorian, also a recent graduate. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We want to start with a general question for all of you. At this point in your lives, who is or was the most outstanding role model you can think of?
I guess I'll go first.
Okay, Kelly.
Actually, I've had two people who have played an important role in becoming role models in my life, and they're my mother and father. I think I'm very fortunate to be raised by a mother and father when many of my friends are raised in single-parent homes, so I've had the benefit of being raised by a mother and a father. I've learned, you know, so much from my mother, who's taught me everything about being a young lady, and my father, who's taught me you should never give up in any type of situation ever. So they've taught me so many valuable, like, life lessons so far, and I'm just extremely fortunate. So those two are the biggest role models in my life.
It's nice that you're fortunate and you know it.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Addie?
I'd have to say my sister, first of all, because she's such an amazing person.
Like, is she older than you?
Yeah, she just graduated.
Why is she amazing?
She just does all these incredible things, and I swear one day she's going to change the world. She's into activism. She teaches me so much about the world and what I don't know and what I'll learn. And then I guess comes my mom, who shows me what it's really like to be an adult, even though I really don't want to grow up.
Peter Pan!
Yeah, I wish I could be stuck 7 years old forever, but I can't. And the next person, he's kind of a role model, I guess, but not in a good way, is my dad. And that's one person I never want to be like. So I guess he shows me what I don't want to become, which also helps me becoming who I am.
Has he done things that you don't think are good?
Yeah. And I'm closer with his sisters and mother more than I am with him, and I don't even know where he is. And when I did know him, I don't know if I really knew him.
Okay, Dorian.
All right. Well, this is one question I never really liked to be asked when I was younger, because I didn't really know what a role model was when I was a kid, and people asked me who your role model is, and I wouldn't know what to say because I didn't really know what a role model was or supposed to do to me or make me think. So I guess I don't really have a particular role model. I guess I can say also that my parents are role models, but not because of exactly what they do or what they teach, but I see what they do and I learn from what they do, and I decide if I want to be like that or if I don't, or if I want to change something that they've told me or taught me. But I think I'm at a point in my life right now where I don't necessarily need a particular role model, so I can figure out what I want to do with myself and be myself.
How about you, Sammy?
This question was really hard for me because I've been thinking about it, and I want to say my parents, but even though they have a lot influenced me a lot in life, I don't see them as my role models at this point. But I don't want to say they're not my role models because I feel like they'll take their credit away, but yeah, because they deserve that, but they are not. So anyway, my role model, I think the closest person that would come to be my role model is my director in the program I'm in. She's the kindest and the friendliest and a lot of other words that are really nice.
This is the dramatic program that you're in?
Yes, the dramatic program I'm in. And she's my friend, but then she's an adult, so she leads me.
What do you all think about time spent at home with your family? Is that important? What do you do when you're home with your family? Do you think it's significant for teenagers to spend time at home?
I love being at home, and it's really important to me to spend time with my sister and my brother, because either we're at school or we're out or we're at the movies or we're doing something, and it's just we're back and forth, but we barely see each other sometimes during the day.
What is it you love about being at home with them?
Just the comfortableness. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to say much to them because we all know what everybody's thinking because we've lived with each other for so long. It's, you know, kind of different than being with your friends. Because with your friends, you kind of have to act a certain way. You have to, you know, you have to act proper when you're out in public because, you know, you have to represent yourself in a positive way. But at home, I don't necessarily have to be so positive or I don't have to be negative, but just whatever's comfortable for me, and I think that's the best thing about it.
Kelly?
For the most part, I enjoy spending time with my family, but, you know, there are times where they can get on my nerves. I'm not going to lie. My parents and my little brother, they're hilarious, so, and it's not even like they're trying to be, just the stuff that they do just cracks me up, so I just, you know, love being around them and at home just watching TV or I'm playing with my little brother. Then it's times where I'm like, I can't wait to graduate and get out of this house because, you know, we have our fights, but, you know, that's every family. And I do think it's important for teenagers to spend time with their family because I believe it's natural, like, you know, well, not that it's supposed to happen, but, you know, that's, you know, how it's supposed to be. And teenagers can learn so much from just spending time with their family and getting to know their siblings and just having fun. So I think that's just a healthy part of life.
Yeah, I'm not sure who said it, though, but I think this is like personal experience, though. I can see it now how your brothers, your sisters, your siblings, your parents are like your best link to the past once you're older. The only people that are going to be with you forever, mm-hmm. So don't lose track of them.
I do think it's important for teenagers to spend time at home and with their family or just do activities with their family. I need time to breathe, but I also need time, like, away from the world, just within the doors of my house with my family. And I agree with what Dorian said earlier. Like, when you do look back into your past, that is the only link that you have. I don't know what I would do without my memories of being at home. I wouldn't know how to keep going on without knowing that I have people who know me and care about me and have been with me that much of my life and that are going to stay there until the end of time.
You want to comment, Sammy?
Yeah. I think it's really important, like, at least for me to spend time with my family. But that's what I believe. That's not always exactly what I do. Because if I'm at home and I'm not doing anything, I don't want to be at home. I don't want to be at home because I don't want to sit home and watch TV the whole day and not talk to my family and just say I spent time with my family. So when I'm at home, like, I want to do stuff with my family, but my family doesn't do stuff. So therefore, I'm not going to be at home. And then they get mad at me for not being at home. But when I'm at home, we don't do anything but sit around and watch TV and then argue a little. So it's like, you know, I love you, but I don't know what to do with you. You want to go out? No, no one wants to go out. So then I'm not staying home. I'm going to go out with my friends.
Do you talk about what you watch on TV if you watch TV together?
And that's the thing. We don't even watch really TV together. Everyone is in their room watching TV.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, once in a while we'll find something to, you know, hey, come look at this. But that's basically it. So, yeah, I think if my family's like really active with each other, that I would really enjoy spending time with them. But we're not, so I'm not at home.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on what teens want their parents to know.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with a group of teenage guests about what teens want their parents to know.
Adults seem to be concerned about values. I'm sure you hear about that all the time. Or the lack of values that we're instilling in our children and in our teens. How do you feel you acquired your own values? And how would you compare your values with those of your friends? Do you want to start, Addie?
I feel like my values are all based on experience that I've had in the past. I don't exactly understand every situation until it until I'm placed in it myself. And I can tell somebody one thing, but then when it happens to me, I seem to go about it a totally different way. And then, like, my whole thought on, like, everything just changes dramatically. And it makes things that I thought before not as important or more important than what it was to me.
So you see things from a different perspective.
Right. And I don't think that most of my friends do share the same values as I do.
Can you give an example?
Like, most of my friends, they value other things more than they value friendship, and I value friendship more than most things.
I agree with Addie. I think I acquired my values through intuition and personal experience, and also through my parents again, just, you know, sitting down and listening to them talk about things or things that are happening in the world and just things that I believe myself. So I think it comes down to just, you know, what I believe, because in the end, I'm the only person that can, you know, tell me things that I guess I want to hear.
Do you feel like you're influenced a lot by outside sources, other people outside your family, your friends, television, magazines, newspapers, movies?
Not really. I do, when I do listen to other people, I respect their opinions and what they have to say, but for the most part, I don't, other people really don't affect me when it comes to values, because I guess I'm just so adamant in what I believe in, and so the only people that do have an effect are like my parents and my grandmother.
With values, it's really hard because it's confusing. Because, like, for me, I listen to a lot of things my parents taught me, and I try to keep that, but then the world is not my family, and things happen, and I have my own experiences that maybe go completely the opposite of what my parents taught me. So that creates a lot of confusion. But when it comes down to it, I think I do what I feel is right, whether sometimes it's what my parents tell me and sometimes it's not what my parents tell me. But I just think, like, in general, because I hear so many people say, well, TV is influencing the kids and this is influencing the kids, and yeah, and parents have no control over them anymore. But I think parents still, because those are the people we love and we've known since we were little, that is greater than any other thing that people can influence us with. It doesn't matter what you tell me. But I think the thing is, the parents are not telling us enough, or they're not proving themselves to us to believe what they're saying. Because if I have a, you know, a parent who's been lying to me half of my life, yeah, I'm going to take what TV says over what you say, because I don't trust you. So I think as long as the parents have a positive effect on their kids, then nothing can really change their mind.
Adding on to what Sammy said, but also I find that teenagers like to push things to the limit, like see how far they can go with something, like an issue that's starting to come up is freak dancing. And
can you explain what that is?
It's dancing really close to each other, like touching
body
each other.
Grinding.
Yeah, body grinding, bumping, shaking, yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah, most parents don't like to know that their kids do that, but most people think of it as pretty much like the same thing as having sex just with your clothes on. But if kids can do that without having sex, and they try to get as close as they possibly can without doing the thing, so like they're going to take it to the limit and see where it goes.
I think that the values that your parents set for you, regardless of whatever you say or think, are still always going to be there, even if you try your hardest to change them. But I speak from my experience. My parents, sometimes they try to manipulate what they have said before and try to change it so it applies to the situation that they're working with now. And so that cancels each other, that cancels what they set out. And so it's easy to believe what's in print because it's, you know, it's already there. It's printed, it's in ink. It's easy to see what's on TV because you can't immediately change that. You have to go take time and type something up again or record something again. So it's a lot easier to believe what some people are saying on TV than what your parents say because they have the power to put it everywhere, where your parents usually just have the power just to say what they have to say to you.
Any or all of you, do you think a faith community is important in your lives? Is the church important?
I think church is very important. I wasn't brought up, I guess, in the church, as some people might think, but my mom is fairly religious, and the beliefs that were taught to me before are still with me, regardless of what I say or do, because they can be dated. Like, for example, the Bible. It's hard to say what effect the Bible has today because the teachings were really old, so it's harder for kids today to understand that they do have an effect on what's going on today.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on what teens want their parents to know.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with a group of teenage guests about what teens want their parents to know.
Okay, so I've been brought up in a synagogue for my life, and it was kind of awkward for me because me and my sister were the only people of our certain race in the whole community, but they brought us in very well, and I started there when I was in kindergarten. So, I feel like I fit in there very well, and it's a comfortable place for me to go. And I know people, and, I can talk to people, and everyone in my class for Hebrew school, we have sleepovers and all that at the synagogue. So it becomes a really comfortable environment for me when I thought it would be very hard at first for me to fit in. So, over the past few years, I've been seriously thinking about it, and I realized that I don't believe in a major aspect of my religion. And it's hard, I guess, to be in the service and be listening to what they're saying, but not believing it. And I don't feel like it's a waste of my time, but at the same time, I feel like I shouldn't be there, because everybody else is thinking one thing, and I don't feel it. I'm just not going along with it, because I don't believe in it.
Have you ever discussed that with any of the teachers, or the rabbi, or a social worker,
yeah,
or anybody?
Yeah, I've discussed it with my mom and the rabbi, and they're okay with it, but I think that they're trying to change my view, but it's not working at all. It hasn't worked since 2 years ago, but it's hard for me knowing that I don't believe it when I feel like I should.
Do you believe something else, or this is something you aren't comfortable with?
It's, I don't know. I never thought about that part.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Sammy, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I understand where she is, because I've went through that. And I grew up in a Catholic school, even though my family's not really religious, but I grew up in Catholic school. So I was taught about the Bible and all that stuff almost every day. And I think that was a good experience in my life. It taught me a lot of good things. But also, now that I've gotten older, that I've realized I don't believe in everything in my religion. So right now I claim no religion, but I do believe in God. And I think for me, because I think everyone needs religion in their life in any kind of form, because I think so far of all religions that I've heard of, they advocate for kindness and sharing on all that stuff. And not only with our families, but with people out of our family. So I think that's just good morals to have, I guess. But at the same time, I think no one should be forced upon a certain religion. I think whatever works, whatever makes someone a kind person, I think that just should be the way.
I have to say I agree with Sammy, because like him, I also believe in God. I think he is the ultimate, and, you know, he, you know, judges us on our actions. But as far as the Bible, I do agree that, you know, they teach morals and values, but I don't think that should be the ultimate thing that, you know, someone acquires their values from. Your values should not be based on, you know, the Bible. No, I don't think anyone can tell you how to think or just what your morals are. You are the only person that can determine that. But although I do believe in God, I just don't think that I don't acquire all my values through, you know, the Bible and, you know, through church. It's what I believe in. So,
if each of you were to be able to give advice to all the parents who are listening about what one thing you would really like them to know that kids don't necessarily get the opportunity to tell their parents, what would it be?
I would say ask questions, because there's obviously things that you would like to know about what your child's doing or what they're involved in, but don't push it. And don't make it an uncomfortable situation. Just carry on a normal conversation that you would have. And if you don't have a good relationship with your child, try to develop one. 'Cause I know a lot of people that don't have good relationships with their parents, but they want to, they just don't know how to bring it up. And it's hard to be the younger one and trying to build a relationship with an adult when it's the adult who should take the first step. Even though I feel that each person should meet each other halfway, be happy that they're telling you something if they do, and just try to be their friend instead of just an adult in their life.
I really agree with her. Yeah, I think it's basically, I don't think it's that hard, but I can understand why it's hard for adults, because they've grown in a certain way for a long time, and it's hard to understand us confused people, I guess.
We were all there once, Sammy.
Yes, but people don't remember that, and it's hard for at least my parents to remember that. But I think as long as for me what I need is just someone to be really open and accept what I say. And yeah, they can have a say-so in it. Just don't force it upon me. Because now, especially once I'm a teenager, whether you're right or wrong, I'm going to have my own beliefs. And even sometimes just to be against you, because that's just what I'm doing now. And I guess that's part of growing up. As long as for me someone has an open mind and hears what I say and always try to be there for me as much as they can, know that we want the same thing. I don't care what kind of teenager you bring. I would bet all the money I have on it. I'll bet my life on it. Every teenager wants a good parent. Every teenager. And no matter what we say, I hate you and all that stuff, it's probably because what you have done to us that you don't even know, because we can't tell you, because we don't feel like you're open enough to hear what we have to say. So as long as parents are open and they just take what I have to say and listen to me and try to talk to me, I think that's just like the best thing they can do, even though they don't know what to do about what I just tell them.
Okay, what I would want to know if I was a parent, it's pretty clear that, you know, when you have a baby that you're on the floor with the baby, you're playing with it, you're getting dirty with the baby, and the baby always looks at you, looks in your eyes, but once I grow up and you're my parent, you can't look at me the same way. You can't be on the same level. Like my mother says that I'm not one of your friends. So don't talk to me like I'm one of your friends. You know, talk to me like I'm an adult, like I'm somebody that you should be giving respect to. But it's easy to speak on the same level with my friends and have the same respect for them that I have for myself and for adults. It's more of a level playing field than parents realize, I think. That once you get to the age of 15 or 16 or even younger, even 13 or 14, that we are pretty much the person that we are going to be for the rest of our lives. So the adult that I am now was pretty reflective of the young adult that I was when I was, you know, 14 or 15. So you can't just throw that away. You have to realize that once you hit a certain age, you know, your kids aren't kids anymore. They're young adults, and you have to give them the same respect as you would one of your friends or coworkers or even your parents. Because I know my mother, she talks to my grandmother like she's, you know, the same age, like she's somebody she's known for her whole life, but mm-hmm. but she treats her like a friend, like a close friend. And I think parents shouldn't be afraid to do that when your kids are, you know, before the age of 20. I think that's a pretty useful advice.
Well, we are so grateful to all four of you for coming today and giving us the benefit of your wisdom, and it is wisdom. All the parents out there, I can guarantee you are nodding their heads and thinking, good grief, this is important stuff. So, Addie, Kelly, Sammy, and Dorian, thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us.
Our gift for our first caller today is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and mention show number 193. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.